Welcome back to the programme. Now, our Taoiseach has said that the new National Children's Hospital may turn out to be one of the most expensive children's hospitals in the world, but that he can live with that if it turns out to be one of the best. And the people in charge of the project were this week before the joint Oireachtas Committee on Health to explain why the costs have reached 1.73 billion of public money. I think people think, well, the government is paying for it, so it's not real money. It's like funny money. It's everybody's money in the country. And needless to say, the Business Post is covering it today. Business Post gives it a lot of coverage, in truth. And Susan Mitchell is on the front page and inside. And we're also joined on the panel now by Catherine Shannon, health correspondent of the Irish Examiner. She was watching it all as it happened. We're talking about massive sums here, just massive sums. Can you take us back to the start? Because I remember the start. It wasn't that long ago. It was 450 million. We sold the lotto. We thought we'd covered it and we were flying.
That's right. In 2012, they were saying 404 million.
404?
404 million.
I did an overrun there myself, briefly, I have to say.
But
okay.
I suppose the first formal figure put forward was probably in 2013 when the HSE got approval from the government of 650 million. So that was kind of the starting point then. But by 2014, that had gone up to 800 million. And that was really on advice from quantity surveyors called ACOM, and they were pricing construction costs at 2,500 per square metre at the time. So the sub came in, it went from 650 as per the approved amount in 2013 to 800 million by 2014. And there was 140 million involved in that for an academic centre, a hospital, school, the car park and retail at the hospital, and then non-core construction and equipment and that kind of thing. There was another 10 million for shared services like clinical contamination that they would share with the adult hospital in St James. So at that stage, 2014, we were at the 800 million. By the time it reached the government for approval in early 2017, the cost had gone up to 983 million. And what they were saying at that stage was that when they looked at it originally, the inflation, construction inflation, was 3% per annum. But by 2016, this had gone up to 9% per annum for large-scale projects, particularly in Dublin. So they factored in another 143 million at that stage. And also the market cost of tenders had gone up, and that came in at another 40 million. So at that stage, at the time that government was approving it in April 2017, we were now at 983 million. Fast forward then, and what the committee heard during the week was that costs really started to escalate around mid-2018, around August. They went up around 200 million, and then by November, which is the figure that has more recently come into the public, they were at 1.433 million. Now, there was further explanations...
Billion, sorry.
There were further explanations given out in relation to that by Tom Costello, who's the chair of the National Paediatric Hospital Development Board. And he broke down 320 million of that additional 450 million cost. And he broke it down as follows. Now, there was 94 million additional had to go on mechanical and electrical engineering systems. Like, what they seem to have done is they had this thing called two-stage tender, and they said this was in line with best international practice. So what it involved was they could get work going on the first stage, phase A, while they were still continuing to cost phase B. So instead of having sort of a fixed price design, they were actually still working on the design while the underground works were going underway. And they had what they called an approximate and remeasurable bill of quantities when they went out to tender. So when the tenders actually came back and they took in the full scope of the project, and they also went down the line of having the contractors working with the designers, the prices just continued to go up and up. So you had 94 million put in at that point for stuff that hadn't been accounted for in the preliminary bill of quantities.
Had it been in the brief?
No, because...
Like, I saw something in there about sprinklers. Now, hello, who's going to leave their precious child into a building where they don't think there is absolutely top-of-the-range anti-fire stuff? Like, why would that come in later?
Well, that came in on foot of an onboard planola condition that hadn't been included, I suppose, in the design brief, which hadn't been finalised at any rate. This was the whole thing. The design brief was left wide open. So onboard planola came back on foot
And who was commissioning the design brief? Was that the department? Was that the HSE?
No, it would be the National Paediatric Hospital Development Board. They were tasked with design, build, equip. So that's their baby. So the fire chiefs came back and said, you need the sprinklers. The fire chiefs came back and said, on foot of Grenfell, you need to do a bit more work. That statutory requirement came in at an extra 27 million.
Okay, well, 27 million sounds like pocket money in comparison to what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, it's very hard not to let your blood pressure go up when you read it. Like, has nobody got this by the scruff of the neck? Well, do you know if it were your own house?
Yes.
It's only a smaller version of an enormous thing. You'd want to know how much it was going to cost you before you started.
Yes, but this was the whole point of their two-stage tender process. They said traditionally, going with the traditional, fixed-price design, that there were cost overruns on projects, and also that there was adversarial behaviour. Now, they didn't exactly explain what that meant. I presume they meant between the contractors and the designers, but I really don't know. So what they decided to do was have the contractors and designers work together.
That sounds like a good idea.
It does, but financially it's possibly a recipe for disaster because designers are always going to go for the optimal spec. Now, when the costs did start going bananas in late 2018, they did actually, the board themselves commissioned an independent review by DSSR consultants in the UK, but the cost of that is not known. The question was asked at the committee and they don't know.
There was another thing that stood out for me. The number of rooms,
yes.
I presume by room you mean space,
yeah.
Went from 120 to 6,000.
Well, I suppose when somebody tells you they're building a 473-bed hospital, which it is in this case, the notion in your head is 473-bed hospital. So I did actually go back to them and say, where did this come from? It's actually 6,150 rooms. So they didn't give me a complete breakdown because I imagine they didn't have time, but there are things like blood transfusion rooms, play areas for kids, parents' lounges, family rooms,
of course,
dirty utility rooms.
Yeah.
Like, the list is kind of endless.
Yeah.
And I do imagine that, you know, when this finally opens, that it will be fairly spectacular.
Oh, I've no doubt.
And, you know, maybe a lot of our misgivings will be set aside. But in the meantime,
well, they might and they mightn't. Well, there has to be value for money too.
Yeah.
There's another article in one, I'll come back to you in a second. Okay. There's another article in one of today's papers written by Jimmy Sheehan.
Yeah, in Business
Post. You picked
Post.
That one out.
I did. They commissioned Jimmy Sheehan, of course. We know him because he founded the Blackrock Hospital, you know, which we'd all agree works very well and private, of course, so it has to run on its own steam. So he wrote an op-ed in the Business Post today on how to build a hospital in 1 year, which I think is possibly salutary reading for anybody working in the HSE.
I'd say 1 year is quite ambitious.
Well, he channels the fact that the Empire State Building, which was built 90 years ago, it was built 102 floors of it in 6 months. Now, I imagine there's probably slight differences in the planning and it possibly doesn't have the fancy sprinklers. But the point is, and I think the point he's making in the piece is, if this was, and you referred to it earlier, Marion, if this was a privately organised building where it was shareholders' money, it was not the taxpayer, or you were building it indeed, your own house. Like, it is inconceivable that all these briefs would be left wide open, see how it goes, don't worry about the cost, look, there'll be a new government, it won't be on our watch. And both sides, because it seems to me that the department are kind of, well, it's not our money. And on the other side, it's government money. Isn't that kind of mindset that you feel? I wouldn't be a bit surprised if it now goes over 2 billion or 3 billion. It just seems endless.
Well, that's the problem. Who could possibly have trust that it'll be 1.7 billion? And the other thing is, I accept the point that it'll probably be extremely spectacular, but as sure as night follows day, there'll be other hospitals built all across the world which will be better again.
But hugely expensive doesn't necessarily mean better.
Indeed.
I mean, if you take the child's needs or the baby's needs or whatever, it doesn't require, like, gold taps,
They have a garden the length of Croke Park on the roof. Now, there are places in Dublin inner city where you could invest money in green space to create a park or games facilities for children without sticking them on the roof of a hospital where the children are inside the hospital.
Well, presumably they will go out for fresh air.
It's nonsense. Well, then create fresh air, create play space. There's 6,000 rooms to create play areas in. You could stick one of them in an atrium.
But the other thing Jimmy Sheehan said was, he talked about the Garrett's principles, which actually, as I read them this morning, I had never heard the term Garrett's, despite my background, but it just sounded like plain common sense. Anyway, the Garrett's principles include the following. All plans are frozen before construction commences. Not a single plug socket can be changed once the builder is on site. Major equipment is specified and ordered at the commencement of the project. Sanitary ware, etc., ordered, purchased, placed in a warehouse to ensure delays don't occur on site. Fixed price inflation, design fees fixed, weekly meetings of client design team and contractor throughout the project, thus all the decision makers are present at the same time in the same room. I mean, that doesn't sound like rocket science to me.
And we have a warehouse where all the, you know, the e-voting machines have been stored, which we're paying rent on for the last decade
now. I mean, where are the decision makers who are handing out the money? I mean, Dr. Michael Harty, who is chair of the committee, the health committee, can't seem to bring anybody who is accountable in front of him. Robert Watt, who is Secretary General of the Department of Public Expenditure and Form, wrote to the committee to say that it's not within his remit. We have four ministers in that department, a head minister, which is Pascal Donoghue, and three juniors.
Yeah.
And this is 1.7 billion of the public's money, and he isn't responsible. We have Jim Breslin, who's the Secretary General of the Department of Health, who actually couldn't attend because he had a diary problem. He had obviously booked two different places to be, and he couldn't attend in front of the committee. Who's accountable for this?
Geraldine Kendra, you've been covering things for years. It's so frustrating. It's like holding jelly and trying to hold it.
What's so frustrating and wasteful about all this is that no one person seems to be in charge and making the decisions and signing off on the decisions. And in that sense, then, it's all sort of run amok completely. Everybody seems to be operating like an island on their own. And when you add all the money up, then it comes to what it comes to.
Yeah, regardless, do you know what? Nobody's saying, hold on a second now. Do we need that? Can we do it this way? Sorry,
But that's a political or a public service input into it. Somebody on behalf of the state and the government has to be in charge of it, asking the questions that you're asking.
But,
do we need
this? But the HSE has form here because, I mean, the cervical check scandal came about precisely because everybody was in charge and nobody was in charge. And it has now come to pass that actually nobody was responsible for that. Everybody was responsible for their own little bit and there was nobody to feed up to. And the only person who fell on a sword was the director of the HSE. Fine, that's okay. But there seemed to be nobody actually in charge.
There was another woman that did as well. The woman that was in charge of
cervical
check. John Lonergan, what's your... the other thing we hear all the time is that the reason there are huge delays in getting projects off the ground is because there are such strict rules from Europe about procurement. Now, I would have thought the rules about procurement is that you enter competitively and all that, but that you knew what you were looking for. I mean, what's the point?
Marion, I think that is, first of all, listen, if you were to have an inventory of all the overspends in the last 30, 40 years, my God, it would fill 20 newspapers. Because almost every major project that I've ever been aware of is overrun.
sometimes in hundreds of millions. So that's the first thing. The second
so we
thing
is, improved on roads.
We started out a disaster.
We mastered it, and you would hear of things coming in on time
but I guess in fairness, a massive difference between building a road and building a children's hospital. And I think one of the first things to recognise is that nobody really knew what exactly was required. I don't think there's a person on earth that could have a comprehensive overview of all the technicalities and all the technical infrastructure.
Sorry, why not?
I just don't think that person is available.
Catherine.
Like, they are pitching it as a country's first fully digital hospital. So this has never happened before.
What, the fact that it's digital?
That it's fully digital. I mean, we don't even have electronic health records in many areas of healthcare,
right,
which is disgraceful at this stage.
But you would have known before you started the computers aren't going to go away.
Yeah, but what they did initially was they looked at 120 typical rooms in the preliminary designs. That had to be upscaled to 6,000 rooms when they came back to it. So, I mean, as Alan Kelly said at the committee...
Did he explain how that happened?
The two-stage tender process, to me, it all goes back to that they didn't have the completed design at that stage, and they didn't have the completed bill of quantities. So once they put the designers and contractors working together, it just went off the Richter scale. So, like, it wasn't all nailed down until it was all nailed down. And at that stage, we're at 1.4
trillion. Excuse me,
please. I think one of the biggest problems was the original 400 million. That was a figure taken out of the air. The next 800 million was taken out of the air. They had no idea what the real cost was going to be. And if they had held their fort and did their basic homework, they'd have had a better idea of estimating what. That's what it was. They were estimating in the dark.
But then where are all the rules about procurement? I mean, I thought they were very stringent.
Absolutely.
That's the word that you hear.
Well, I don't think it's because of procurement
procedures. It's not just procurement procedures. You've got health and safety. You've got all of the regulation that we now work under. And in the private sphere, that's where you're regarded as not wasting the money. You're only too well aware of what you're going to have to face. I was involved in the building of a nursing home in Wexford, and I understand the 6,000 rooms. It's everything from the broom closet to the toilet. Yeah. So I can understand that, but it was obviously the phraseology when it was initially that it wasn't estimated at that the rooms weren't dictated to be 6,000. I would say this, no, there's no other part of the country that this project could cost as much. Labour in Wexford, getting
right,
to work,
well, listen,
productivity,
listen,
productivity
but
from
that
not
horse having, left
I agree,
2 years
I agree,
ago.
But is it not a lesson to be learned?
It has significant implications because it's real money. It is not
correct. People get this sense that it's like monopoly.
It has enormous implications for capital projects, not only in the Department of Health, but all across the Irish state, all across the public sector. We have Ireland 2040 with these grandiose, ambitious plans, which I think are good, but it'll cost. And we're now in a scenario where the government is down probably 800 million, even in the last 6 months, from what it said this hospital would cost. That is real money, which will have real implications for
which
the development
is not
of
available
our state.
For other things.
It's not only real money, it's borrowed real money. So there is an ongoing implication for all taxpayers. And it seems extraordinary that Stephen Kinsella, there was a piece in one of them in the Business Post today in the headline saying that the cost overrun was known last August, but the owner wasn't told. That's us.
Yeah.
We're the owner.
Well, we
the
forget
owner
that.
Was
see.
Not
but there's
told.
A serious lack of transparency in the whole,
yes,
the whole
yeah
project.
Mind you, does the 4 months make a difference? It's the bottom line that really makes the difference.
Yeah, but is it the bottom line? See, this is, we
but
don't
equally,
know that.
Equally, I think when they actually start to get into the fundamental building of the project, that the workforce won't be there and supply and demand will dictate even greater increase.
They actually had a few exclusions in final price.
What was excluded?
The exclusions were, I have them here, the exclusions were that a change in scope, for example, changes in clinical standards. Number two, excess national tender construction inflation above 4% post-July 2019. Number three, changes in legislation, for example, VAT, PRSI, labour rates, building regulations. And number four, changes with emerging medical technologies and compliance with regulatory guidelines.
Well, you can understand there will be changes as technology changes and as research improves, facilities for children and for their families. Will you tell me about these cables? What cables were they?
Well, the cable thing kind of came up again under the Bill of Quantities, which is Alan Kelly again was asking, you know, you went out with this. They had the bill itemised, but what they knew, Tom Costello told the committee, was that they knew the elements of the project. They knew what was required, but they didn't know the amounts. So Alan Kelly said, so you knew you needed 5,000 kilometres of cable, or you knew you needed cable, but you just didn't know how much you needed. And it turned out they needed 5,500 kilometres of cable. They needed like 46,000 lights. They needed 36,000 data points. So they had identified all of the elements, as Tom Costello said, but they hadn't finalised the costs. So it just went back to not knowing the quantities. And even though they locked down rates at 2016 rates, they still didn't know how much they needed of everything. So that's why the cables kept coming up. You know, you didn't know you needed 5,500 kilometres of cable. Why didn't you know that?
What was the cable for, by the way?
Well, I presume ICT, hospital, you know, fully digital hospital and all the lighting that goes with it.
Nurses.
I don't know anything about building or construction, but are there not people whose job it is just to do
well,
that?
There were quantity surveyors.
Well, you can't blame the quantity surveyors either if they don't know the quantities.
Yeah, exactly.
And if the client hasn't given them an indication.
If you have the designers working on site with the contractors, the designers are going to push it to the limit anyway.
Let's have three where one would do.
Yeah, but that's where the client has to say, sorry, I'd love it. No, thank you. We don't need
it. Well, at that stage, they did commission a review themselves, as I was saying, and they had an opt-out clause. They didn't have to continue the contract with BAM. And again, I'm not blaming any of this on BAM. But, you know, they decided to stick with BAM because they said it would have added another 2 years onto the project and another 300 million. So we are where we are, and the horse is bolted on any reversing.
And I think it still will. We haven't seen the end of this by a stretch.
I think the only saving grace here, they haven't called in Dermot Bannon. And, you know, I mean,
well, Dermot goes over.
Dermot would say he doesn't go over. Some of his clients, one very famous one in Donegal, definitely thought he did go over. But, I mean, I accept what you're saying, John Donegan. The scale is huge. But there are people who know how to count what
they
is
don't
needed.
Know.
In a...
You see, this is the way honesty and transparency would say to me, they didn't know.
No, John,
they
were I fundamentally disagree. I think this is about public money versus private enterprise.
Just hold on a second now.
I really think what's wrong here is that it's like paper money.
Hold on,
if you read Susan Mitchell's article in the Sunday Business Post, nobody's accountable.
Hold on a second now.
Nobody's taken responsibility.
Can you just let John have a word there, please?
I would be absolutely certain there's not one person had any idea of what exactly the Children's Hospital is going to be now 3 years ago. They just didn't know. Nobody will admit that. Well, but it's only when they sat with it, in fairness now.
I would agree with John based on what came
I know,
the
in fairness, to say somebody should know.
Well,
people are talking about the Children's Hospital.
Yeah, but there are jobs that include knowing what's in the brief.
But Marion, you see, the brief is fine if you knew what the brief was going to be.
But
the problem is they didn't.
They didn't know.
They wanted a children's hospital, a state-of-the-art children's hospital. Everybody wanted that, but nobody knew exactly what did that mean in reality.
Okay.
They put in estimates that were totally off the wall.
I want to come back to Catherine. What's going to happen now?
Well, I mean, they're hardly going to stop the project.
I wouldn't think so, no.
So they're saying that it will take 57 months instead of 48 months to complete. I looked at the timeline.
When will it be finished?
Well, 2022 is the building, but their timeline that they supplied in their slide presentation at the committee says 2023. So that's not going to open before 2023.
There were babies born at the beginning of this project. There won't be children at the end
of
it.
Well, they'll be having their own babies, yes. I think, by the time we come to the end of it. Anyway, we will watch, but it is incredibly frustrating how it's all
going. I say there was a letter to the Irish Times.
Very quickly.
Where a letter writer said, this project started out of 404 million. My formula that has stood the test of time is just multiply everything by three and then you'll know what the project will actually cost in the end. And that letter was fairly prescient.
Slightly underestimated.
Yeah.
But there you go. Anyway, Catherine, listen, thank you very, very much indeed for coming in to tell us that. That's Catherine Shanahan, health correspondent of the Irish Examiner. And now I have to go to the newsroom and Carl O'Brien.